The adult beverages are poured. The kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 1.5-year-old.
My name is Gavin. And
two days off.
And I'm Jeff. I got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yeah, so I'll say he's 2 days off his birthday, but forget it. I'm not birthday.
His birthday. Wow.
Yeah. 2 days off, but I'm calling it. It's. I messed it up on an insurance form. I actually said he was like born in 2016. I don't know where my head was. It's just like my wife is reviewing it. She's like, 2016, really? He's 6 months old. I'm like, oh god, just damn. Gentlemen, how was your week in fatherhood and gaming?
Mine was good. Baby's doing well, running around, getting into stuff. We have a local community center with like an open play time. So we've taken her there a couple times this week, now that she's a little bit older and her nap schedule allows for it. So you sign in and you set her down. It's just a room full of kids and toys. And she just goes nuts. And it's great. She likes pushing this little stroller. She likes pushing things with wheels. Doesn't matter what it is, but this one particular stroller she loves.
That bodes well for you in your future when you're wheelchair bound.
Yeah, exactly. She has rammed into a couple children and parents, but how much force can she really exert? That's been a lot of fun. She's doing well. As far as gaming goes, playing a little bit of Uncharted. And actually, I've gotten to a point in it where I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand now about that whole. The violence level and the juxtaposition it plays with the narrative and character arc. And what's actually kind of interesting is I've also been playing Mafia 3. And that one has some very, very violent takedowns, but it fits narratively because you have a Vietnam War vet out on a quest for blood-soaked revenge. But what's interesting... before the quest for blood soaked revenge, he would just sort of pistol whip somebody unconscious, like just clock them in the back of the head, nice and clean, and down they go. And I'm like, wait a second, like yeah, that fit really well there, but you know, Nathan Drake should be doing more stuff like that. Like, if you stealth attack somebody, like choke them out, or like, you know, drag them to the ground and give them a good finishing punch. It's that stock of celery crack. That I think is a little much. He's a little bit too much like Joel from Last of Us in regards to how he dispatches enemies.
Brutally.
With no remorse.
Spine cracking.
Yeah, to return to a point from previous weeks, yeah, I got to that point where I do agree. It's a little much. Especially in conjunction and playing another game where it's supposed to be really violent and there's actually a less violent option. It's like, okay, it's interesting how this game, which should be able to just fully embrace violence with no real sense of restraint, that they sort of did focus restraint. And actually there's an options menu where you can take his takedowns back to the pre-revenge ones, which are just like chokeouts and pistol whips and stuff. Which I think is also really nice too for people who are like, oh, well, I want to take down enemies quietly, but I don't always want to surgically remove their windpipe with my combat. But yeah, anyway, so that's my take on the, and as far as Mafia 3 goes, I'm really enjoying it. It's a fun game. Narratively, it's beautiful. It's really, really interesting story.
How's the session length on Mafia 3?
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, lots of checkpoints. So I can pick up, put down. So it's very dad friendly. Keep the volume down though for the little one. She'll learn some.
Nap time gaming.
Yeah, nap time gaming. Sure. Yeah, it's good. One, I think, grievance I have against it, which hopefully will get patched out, is it felt a little rushed. There's some graphical glitches and stuff with like shaders and that and lighting. So like you'll go in and like the way that the textures are handling lighting, they just sort of shudder and blink and do new things, just these kind of optical glitches, which is too bad because like you can tell it's just a matter of it didn't spend enough time in the oven. But I think sometimes with the industry it can be very rushed to launch. So but aside from those, which could get buffed out, I'm still really impressed with it. It's not ruining my experience. It's just one of those things that, like, oh, I remember the second one being a little bit more finalized in regards to the back end stuff. But the story in this one is so far very satisfying. Time period's great, music's fun. So I recommend it.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Jeff, yourself?
For myself, in terms of fatherhood, I lugged the kids downtown Toronto to the One of Kind show. So for those that don't know, it's this huge warehouse convention center filled with lots of people selling One of a Kind handmade things.
And perfect kid event.
Yeah. You know, we've gone before in the stroller. So I was kind of anticipating, you know, it being a little bit busy. But apparently the Grey Cup was also on, which is, again, the Canadian Football Championship, was right next door on BMO Field. So it was a little bit packed in terms of parking and people, but the kids made it well. Yeah, it was a little nuts. I didn't know. I had no idea. I got there and people were selling stuff and it smelled like hot dogs. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. Found out later when I got home. I'm like, oh, Grey Cup. That makes sense. But the kids actually had
a sad statement about this BFL.
Yeah.
It was a Grey Cup.
No one watches it.
Super what now?
I don't know. But inside the show, like, there's tons of great art that my wife and I thoroughly enjoyed. And if I had, you know, extra paychecks, that's where my money would go. Just the stuff that's there is awesome. But the kids were entertained taking everyone's business cards. So thank God for Pokemon.
Schmoozers.
Because they had to collect them all. Like, it was like they had to go from vendor to vendor and take each, like, ask for their business card. So I made them ask and, you know, explain what they did. And then they got a business card out of it. So it was a fun game for them. It kept them entertained until things fell apart, you know, a few hours later. But no, it was a good experience. So if you're going to do it, you know, just make a game out of it. That's my advice. That's my dad advice. Otherwise, you wouldn't survive. Or just don't take them. Whatever. In terms of gaming, though, I participated in not only the Steam Autumn sale, but the Black Friday PSN PlayStation sales.
Couldn't resist its charms.
I can't. Like, games for like $6-7, I couldn't resist. So the one on Steam I actually bought was Subnautica, which was about $15, and it's still in early access. So, you know, speaking to a game that is still being developed, looks beautiful. So it's about a game, you crash your spaceship, you splash down on this water planet, and you have to find materials to rebuild your escape pod and kind of survive. So on the hardest difficulty, they have thirst and hunger, and there's power to your little escape pod, and then you advance out and you can build an underwater base, and then expand into the water. And I'm not sure what the end game is yet, but it's pretty cool. And I'm not used to games like that where it's almost like a No Man's Sky-ish, like you have to collect stuff, bring it back, kind of make things out of it, and they make other things, and you're kind of
Rust, but with like less naked people.
Yeah, way less. Yep. Yeah. And very dad friendly. So my kids sat down and played it with me, and it's all like underwater alien species, and they were amazed. There's this, like, there's a whale in it, like an alien whale, and it makes like a cool whale sound, like the big bass whale sound, and you could just barely see it through the mist of the ocean, and it was really neat. And they were just totally like up against the monitor trying to see what it was and if we could get materials off it. So they were totally into it, and it wasn't, there's not a lot of violence in it. Of course, you can go around killing all the fish, but it's more about figuring out the puzzle and how to tame this planet and get off it, or send out a signal to get your people. Again, I'm not sure what the end game is. Maybe it's just survival right now, but it was really cool. So $15 well spent on an early access game that supposedly is going to get better. So we'll see. But good dad game.
For sure. Now, with being a PC one, was it fairly demanding as far as specs go? Or is it pretty...
Well, I'm running it on my Mac. So it works on a Mac.
So no.
So no?
The answer is no.
It looks great. The frame rate can hiccup once in a while. But it's really well optimized. I was surprised. So it wanted to run in like 5K mode or something, and it was just not having a good time. So I put down the resolution a little bit, and the initial load is about 2-3 minutes. So that's not dad friendly. Like, it's a 3-minute load until you get into the game. But after that, you're set. So it's good.
It sounds like it runs splendidly on a PC.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, all the extra graphic power you got going. I'm just running on my lonely Mac here. So, no, it's good. It's a good one. So I highly recommend that one. It's cheap.
Nice.
Good experience.
Yeah. No, in fact, I bought it per your recommendation. Because especially how you had described it as, yeah, Jones in for a No Man's Sky experience, which is something we'll discuss in a bit. But yeah. Now, during your update here, did you want to cover the beautiful greenery that happens to be behind you? Or more specifically, I think we can move on to a section we call Be a Dad, Ask a Dad, or however we want to phrase it. Specifically, I think Gavin had a question with your Christmas tree behind you.
I did. We're about to put ours up probably next week, and I see you have a lovely tree that is upright.
Not set on fire.
Last year, our baby was not mobile yet. Like, she was just still crawling around at best. But this year, she is fast and likes grabbing things and interacting with things. Do you have any tips in regards to keeping them from climbing the tree?
Yes. So how we did it for my kids is our tree looked quite different when they were younger, and toddlers and grabbing stuff where they're not so sure, you know, what they're doing is wrong. And you don't want to like yell at them all the time. Like, you know, once in a while, like, you know, don't touch the tree. That would be great. But our tree was all top heavy. So you had all our ornaments up the top half of the tree, and the lights, because it's a pre-lit tree. So the lights still went down. They couldn't really grab them off. They could look at them, but we didn't have anything that they could physically pull away from the tree, and then thus the tree falling over. So that's how we did it. It was the top half was decked out like extra because we had all the ornaments that were supposed to go on the bottom up top. And then they couldn't really touch it. They could look at it, and we would show them it and kind of not really sit them down and do the rules because yours is kind of young. So I don't think
they can. That's the thing, is we're in a window right now where she's not old enough to reason with.
Yeah.
But she's moving. My wife actually picked up a bunch of just ornaments that are very like baby friendly. They're just like stuffed animals almost.
Oh, that's good too, yeah.
For like to be able to decorate that bottom area. But yeah, I think for the bottom, since ours isn't pre-lit, I'm gonna try to tuck the lights really deep at the bottom few rungs, and then once it gets above her height, then I'll bring them a little bit further out to the edge. The other option was we were thinking of getting like almost like a playpen, but then put the tree in the playpen.
That could work. That's inventive. Yeah, I like that.
That was one option that we were kind of playing around with. We'll see if we need to resort to that. Maybe we can get away with it. But she's very inquisitive, so I have a feeling we might be investing in a playpen for the tree.
You always go like real tree. And then she tastes it, and like,
I seem to recall my brother having it where he actually had baby gates set up around the tree. So trees in a corner, and there's just gates all the way around. Mm-hmm. So it was up and down, but it's very much the walled-off garden, where it's just like you are not to go near this tree.
Especially if you start putting presents underneath it, right? Like, good luck.
No,
you might want to leave those. We left those for until Christmas Eve. So.
Christmas Eve, that's even bold. My parents wouldn't do that until we woke up on Christmas morning. trust us one bit. Don't blame them. I will notice like the one call out is that I noticed the Hulk figure.
Yeah.
The Hulk ornament very up top.
Yeah.
That's just mean.
Like,
of course your kid wants to grab the Hulk one. Like, I want to grab it. I want to play with it.
They're old enough now that they put it up themselves. So we lifted them up. The Hulk goes higher because the Hulk jumps really high. There's Batman, if you can see Batman. There's Batman down there. And there's Darth Vader.
Is he just like sulking at the tree because he doesn't have any parents? Or like...
He doesn't deserve Christmas.
Oh, it'd be like in the water fort because it's like the Batcave, right?
Yeah, that's right. But no, that's another tradition too that we every year we get them an ornament. So usually it's superhero themed because it's something they want to put up versus just like a regular red ornament or something. So yeah, we have a lot of figures.
When around I was a treated, we had the tradition of I would get an ornament every year, but there was these Hallmark released these Star Trek ornaments where you could plug it into the string of lights.
Oh, really?
One of the bulbs out and you plug the ship in. And like they got me one every year for like a good string of time. Like we have a pretty sizable collection. I'm sure I could convince somebody on, you know, if I ever want to pay for my daughter's schooling, maybe I can convince somebody who collects them to take them off my hands. But, but then again, the sentimental value is a little too strong on them, so I don't think I'd ever really part. But yeah, that was I fondly remember my parents doing the same thing with me, where there was a particular theme of ornament, and that there'd be a new one every year, and they would actually hide it on the tree that morning. So like when I came down, I'd have to like hunt for it. Like it wasn't like in a stocking or wrapped; it was like in the tree on Christmas morning, and I'd have to like sort of Easter egg hunt. I have a fond memory very similar to that, so I'm curious if your kids will sort of, you know, a few decades down the road when they're sitting around their hologram tree reminiscing of that.
Which DLC did you buy for your tree?
Yeah, that's right, don't go there. Oh,
so true. Again, all these ideas we keep putting out, it's just perfect.
The Christmas tree needs an update.
We're recording on Google, so we know it's all getting logged.
Yeah, that's right. This is gold. This is
So myself, it was pretty eventful this last little while. So I am recording this from Colombia. My wife is Colombian. Her family's down this way, and we had made the choice to miss the majority of winter this year and be down here for it. In addition to being able to spend some time with the grandparents down here, the rest of the family for Christmas, they of course don't get to see the sun as often. And no, the sun. they don't see my son that often. So it all came together. And I think with what we went through last winter with the postpartum depression as well, and it was just going to make for a good year to be out of winter. That tends to be very hard on my wife, understandably, coming from Colombia, such a warm and wonderful place. So here we are. So we got to do the entire adventure of going through the airport and flying through the plane, which is just, yeah. I think, have either of you been on a flight with your kids yet? I can't remember if we...
We're Jeff. Maybe might try, but I'm curious to see how this goes.
And Jeff, sorry, I seem to remember, Jeff, you mentioned a story.
Yeah, my youngest was 9 months, cried the entire way.
So the actual flight itself has honestly really gone pretty well, because like you can distract them and you set yourself up, you're ready to go, and you can walk. Like, I think it's getting through is the most tedious, scary part. Like just all the bags you have, going through security, mm-hmm. trying to be on time. Just one after the other, like, so that part is so stressful. The actual flight honestly was pretty smooth, and he treated us again. He slept for 2.5 hours of a 6-hour flight. Oh, unbelievable. So that all went really well. And the entire, so it's gonna be great. We're gonna be down here quite a bit of time. Really blessed and happy about that. I was worried we're gonna have to cancel, because a week before, my son decided to launch himself and his little red riding car down the stairs.
Well,
he took a tumble down 13 stairs. He actually rammed it. He had such momentum that he rammed the baby gate off the hinges. So baby gate and car all went tumbling down the stairs.
Oh no.
Just smacked. So it was pretty traumatic from our side, but we bring him to the hospital. They brought us right through. It was remarkable how fast we got through. With that type of trauma, they just want to be right on it. Thorough exam, everything looked good. You know, they kept us for some observation, but they sent us home, let's say, in like 2 or 3 hours.
Wow.
Keep an eye on it, blah, blah, blah. Well, the the scenario, and the best part, I will say this, like after like 2 hours, he was like back to himself, just full on energetic one-to-one baby that we know, except mm-hmm. it's a mean comparison, but he very much looked like the monster from the Goonies. his head on the one side is so, that's the dude. The guy kept yelling that at him because it was hilarious, because his one side was so swollen that his ear like looked like it was like at the level of his mouth. It was shoved down so far and going sideways. In other words, this huge like welt on his head, it was, I have pictures I don't want to look at. Anyways, everything goes fine. He's acting like a champ. Next day, wakes up again. He's doing great, maybe a little bit swollen. Mm-hmm. And we, per the advice of the doctor, we sent him to daycare. We pick him up from daycare, and the swelling is actually really increased to a point where we're not comfortable with it. And the daycare recommends we go to Sick Kids, the hospital in Toronto dedicated to children. And at this point, now we spend 30 hours in the hospital. It's funny because God bless them. They did great work at, and I know how difficult their job is and everything, but I swear they just, some parts of it, they really don't seem to know how kids work. Or it's like, okay, great. We just got to give him this. Could you just hold him steady for 3 hours?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, what? Have you never talked to a toddler? This kid's one and a half. It's like, this kid's a one and a half, and he acts like he's on Red Bull all the time. There's no chance he will stay still. That's torture. So, but we're just running through. We end up doing a CT scan. So I got these photos. It ended up being a skull fracture. Wow. And it's going like down, this big old one. But again, they come in, they say, oh, you know, it's a relatively minor one, to which we regard as if it, no, it's not. That's crazy.
Minor?
Yeah. But to what they had said, you know, I guess from what they see, it's pretty minor and they're built for it. The line of the entire event was, you know, kids do this thing and within a couple hours, they'll be fine. They'll totally heal. No issue. If you or I took this fall, it's likely we would have died.
Wow. They told you that?
That was their line. It's just like, look, like kids are very resilient. Like they're built for this. And because of the way their skulls are, they can totally bounce back with this. You or me, we're going to have a hard time recovering from this fall. And it's just, it makes you think. It's just, wow. Well, anyway, so we were additionally.
Like you see, like you hear about like old, like elderly people slip on ice and fall.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, hip is like a saltine, just explodes. But like
such a good description.
Yeah. It's perfect. That's like Nathan Drake graphic. It's perfect.
Yeah, but when you have like, I remember when I was a kid, the baseball diamond in our schoolyard would freeze over every winter, and all the kids would play this game called slide trip, where everybody's standing on the ice and everybody would try to slide trip each other on the ice. You just so run.
I love it.
Slide like you're stealing a base and just slide tackle whoever wasn't paying attention. So it was always a surprise. And there's just kids like falling hard on frozen rock hard ice. You just hear like crunch, 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 crunch. Nobody hurt. Everybody's fine. Just bouncing off the ice. But it's like if you had like an old age home play this game, like they would all be just like hospitalized.
These corpses.
Crazy the resilience. Like when we're first born, like they always say, like, oh, babies bounce. You know, like that's just a silly rhyme that people say to make themselves feel better. But it's like, no, there's actually some science behind it. They're pretty sturdy little things where it's like if my frail frame went through any of that, it's like, if I put my body through it went through when I was a kid, I would not be able to move.
So it was like I said, you're exactly on point. And I mean, it came from a doctor, not from a parent. So like, anyways, but of course, it was really scary and everything. But again, every hospital, everybody was wonderful. And we lucked out. Everything went really well. And he is just absolutely himself. And they gave us clearance to go on the plane. So that was no issue. And boom, here we are. And trip's looking great. The gaming, just real quick. So Nathan Drake, it's still continuing through that. I think that's the only thing I was able to touch this week. Well, sorry, VR Drive Club. Funny with the VR thing, it is the only act two. Just because it's sessionable, because I'm going to have really small amounts of time. And I know I can get in, race, get out, and be done with it. There was a great Black Friday sale for a game called Bound, which I'm really interested in. We'll see. I'm otherwise Nathan Drake, and the thing that's bothering me at the moment, getting past the violence, is now a lot of the puzzles just seem like other less astute people could just stumble upon the answer. Specifically, there's one, and it's not too much of a spoiler, but there's like 20 arrows, and you do puzzles, and you keep finding new arrows, and there's another arrow, and it leads to an open cave on the one side of an island. And it's kind of, it's like, you know, if I just drove around, I could have just found it. Like, these arrows seem really useless. Like it's a wonderful puzzle. It kind of helps the game. And then the best part is, like, the culmination of all of this is that it points to just another space, like just another space over there.
Yeah.
Arbitrarily, I chose this space. If I had just accidentally chose that space, I would be like twice as far ahead. Like, this isn't like, this is redundant. This is silliness. Like, if I could have just chosen that island by accident, or like the people I'm competing with could have accidentally gone over to that place. So, you know, I'm trying to suspend disbelief. I'm just trying to like have a great time because I am enjoying the game so much. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I get to the end of these things, I'm just like, this, that was pointless. Like, what a
so rigmarole. Pretty, though. Oh, it's that cool. Place is pretty.
It is beautiful. Waste of time.
It's just like turquoise.
But yeah, there are. I do agree. There are certain puzzles, and I think it even happened with the previous games too, where there's some puzzles where you're like, okay, that felt a little phoned in, or a little hand-holding. But then there was other ones where I was like, that was great. I think it was in the third game. There was one where you had to position these items to cast the shadow of a tableau to match a drawing in your book. So it's like a room full of all of these various like arms and legs and torsos and stuff all up on like posts. And I forget how it was, either you were manipulating the light source or the items or both. And you basically, it was like you had to make a shadow puppet. And it wasn't until you made the right shadow puppet that a door would open. And that I found really great. And actually, even with Uncharted, there was in the fourth one, there was one puzzle that I kind of liked, which was early on, where you're lining up beams of light mm-hmm. to like make like constellation or something. And I was like, okay, that was mm-hmm. kind of neat, and it felt good, and it also looked really beautiful because it took advantage of particular mechanics and engine capabilities that really showcased what the game can do with lighting, but also a neat little puzzle. But yeah, there are some where it's just like it was just X mark that spot, and then that spot, and then that spot. So, but yeah. But then, as Jeff put it, it's a pretty game. So it's very beautiful.
So pretty.
See, I would love them to almost like. I would love to for them to add a nod where it's like your super dumb cousin one time just happens to be at the end position. Oh, hey, you got here too. It's like, how did you get here? I saw these like these puzzles. Oh, I just kind of stumbled over this way. Like, oh god,
what took you so long?
God damn it, Cletus, you always show up. Yeah. What the hell?
Oh man, the so my only quick minor thing to mention before we get to the main two items we're going to speak about is the. I'm very limited in what I can do here. I, from a weight perspective, decided not to bring my PlayStation. I'm on the fence whether on. I have a couple trips back for work, but I was thinking about would I bring back the VR. I'm a bit on the fence about it. See, the way the only thing I have is my MacBook. So I was making fun of Jeff for his Mac, and here I am.
Yeah, look who's
the only thing I have. So I had to when it before I was home and I had great internet. I went through the list. It has some decent games.
Yeah,
some lower-fi stuff, but like ultimately, it's a good old list. So I think if nothing else, it probably ends up being a bit of an opportunity to catch up on some titles I skipped for the bigger, exciting stuff.
You know what's on Mac?
A chance to force yourself through the backlog. You know,
yeah,
like it's a good chance for you to go through all these games that you've sort of put on the back burner because there's virtual reality in your living room now. And now it's like, hey, I just want to finish this little platformer or this game or that game. I would recommend.
So I could visit. Yeah, I could either visit Fez or I can go punch a physical shark in the face. Let me hop in that reality for a second.
Yeah, but your outdoor Columbia excursions are different than video games. Oh, you meant fake shark.
Fake shark. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think I said real shark, and that that would not be the case. I will be avoiding sharks as much as possible.
We're gonna hear that you're so punched a shark in the nose.
2 days later, you see the Instagram pic. Just wait. But I call Zelda very. Yeah, apparently I just throw my son at it because he can survive anything. So, shark, son, go get him. So, why that's mostly pertinent topics we have this week, and specifically, it's a massive update to No Man's Sky that came out of the blue, and it's the release of Final Fantasy 15, the dad killer. So yeah. So to go in order, I suppose if we talk about No Man's Sky, did you guys have any, I know I'm the only one that owns it, I believe. Did you guys have any thoughts on it, or?
It's piqued my curiosity, like reading about the update. Like I commend the developers for just understanding that the PR nightmare that they had sort of found themselves in was irretrievable. So to just like go radio silent, put their heads down and get some work done. And I've been hearing great things about those who have been delving into it. So it sort of confirms my initial suspicions, which like No Man's Sky is very much like other procedural games. Minecraft now is not even close to what it was when it first came out. Like it was entirely different. The only difference is that when Minecraft first came out, there wasn't a campaign or marketing push saying a bunch of stuff about it. They just released it. Mm-hmm. So the public was more receptive to it. And then they're more receptive to the additions and the patches and stuff because you realize like this is an ever-growing game. It's not like an Uncharted where game is done. We put a bow on it. Everybody enjoy. This is it. Like it's a far more malleable means of entertainment, I guess is a way of sort of describing it. So unfortunately No Man's Sky is due to some maybe not entirely choice decisions in regards to marketing. They left themselves in a bad spot. Had they been a little bit quieter in the marketing or not forced to promise certain things, or they had just been like, here's what the game looks like, and just left it like mystery, like just J.J. Abrams it and like leave it a big mystery box, that might have been better to their advantage. That said, though, this patch, it's definitely piqued my interest because there's some things addressed in it that I'm like, ooh, well, I'm happy with that. Sounds like these play sessions are better. So I'm curious about it. I think I'm leaning more towards PC because I think it's a good sort of game where if my wife's in the middle of a movie and I just want to kill some time until she's done watching the movie, it's something I can play on the computer without having to like, we just have the one TV because we're not Rockefellers. So, it's, rather than wait for my turn, I'll just play on the computer. it's definitely, the patch has piqued my interest. I was on the fence about whether I'd even ever pursue it. Most of the reviews I've read were, first 2 hours are great, and then after that, it's overstayed its welcome. But now with the patch, it seems to have changed a lot of that, and that's really has me interested again.
Yeah, Jeff, yourself, would you
now
consider it?
No. Okay, no, I am the opposite. I think 90 days of silence is probably the worst thing you can do. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's no communication. You don't know what's going to happen with the game. We thought the game was dead. And the only one that's come back from it is probably like Drive Club or Destiny, where they've had constant communication, constant updates. And Drive Club's awesome now. Like, they promised the world and they launched with nothing, like half the game that they were supposed to have. But then they got out there, they were in touch with the community and saying things were coming and this track's going to release. And it was like a steady flow. And this is like one patch. Sean Murray's gone. Like, no one knows where he is. He's probably, I don't know, off in Mexico somewhere. Like he's
in a bunker. He's hiding.
I wouldn't show his face. I think he might have been the problem. Maybe he was promising too much and people behind the scenes were like, what are you doing? Like, we can't do this.
He was a Peter Molyneux. He was a Peter Molyneux.
Yeah,
I think people just turned on him. He just became the focal point because he was the most vocal, and he did some very, and it's like when he set this out, did he say to himself, I can't wait to go on Stephen Colbert, or was it a bit more pushing, like from Sony, push from the company?
I'm sure he had
like, let's get
Yeah, I'm sure he had push to do it, to market it, right? But when you say can't ever find a player, and then people do it like within an hour, and you're like, then leave it.
But I think it was the difference is that
the Molyneux thing, like he would promise all these things, a lot of quotes about love. It's like, this game is going to teach you love or help you experience love and all this stuff. It's like, as a dog, you played fetch. It was great. It was fun, but that's all it was. But I think the difference was that none of the things he was promising were measurable or quantifiable. The things that he was promising were all subjective. And it was like, if people were like, well, I didn't fall in love with the dog. And it's like, well, that's your problem. Like, whereas with No Man's Sky, the things that they were promising were measurable. They were things that you can provide evidence for in regards to, well, you'll never encounter or never wind up on the same planet as somebody else because the odds are too slim. And it's like, yes, slim, but not non-existent. Whereas something like promising things that you're going to experience on a personal level, those are subjective. Mm-hmm. And subjective promises, if they don't come true, the audience is willing to accept some of the ownership of that not coming true. It's like, well, it didn't come true for me, but maybe it's my tastes. But when you have objective promises, like what with No Man's Sky did, objective promises are measurable, and if they're not delivered upon, that's when you run into problems, because it was actually something that you could provide evidence for in regards to achieving. I could make a correlation with politics right now, but I'll avoid that.
So I think what I would say against that is, and what I'm worried about it is, I think there's lessons to be learned. He could have done better. I think in the next game, next season, whatever, even with these new patches, where, by the way, he said nothing this time. And I think that's very much, as much as it, I think, is also bad, in some ways it's also good given this fallout from it. Like, what was he going to do? Like, promise something again? Like, how would that possibly be perceived? So I guess what I dislike about it is like the thought around intent, where it's just like the way everyone else framed it with him. They said like he purposely lied and he misled us, and then he set the building we're in on fire and he ran away with all of our money. Ha ha ha. And the thought that that's the truth, that he said those things as in, well, this isn't true, but if I say it, I'll make more money. Ha 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 ha. And then like evil getaway car. Like it's just a bit much. Like I understand. Again, I think it's, I'd never heard this guy before. I imagine that. So this seems to be one of the first times he's ever been in the spotlight. I think he had every intent of launching those things. Yeah. It just didn't come true. And he's learned a hard damn lesson. But I dislike the personal vitriol. I dislike the vitriol that's being thrown at him. Like under disappointment, yeah. Holding them to account as far as like he promised this and it wasn't there, great. But Sean Murray is a evil, vindictive, awful person who screwed us. Like it's just a bit much, guys.
Yeah.
And I think it very much, if you wanted a relationship with developers, calling them a Nazi doesn't help it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like, you can't engage. I've been part of that Reddit, owning the game. I was in it and it got dark, man. It was awful. It's terrible.
It made the news.
I think that's the thing too, what he did might've been bad form. Yeah, sure. It was bad form, but it was just, honestly, it's a video game, people. And like, experience I've had in video games, there are a lot of things during game development that the dev team will talk with each other about and want to deliver and be like, oh, that's a cool idea. Ooh, that's a cool idea. Ooh, that's a cool idea. But usually those cards are kept really close to the dev team's chest, sometimes even internally. And it's usually standard practice to not mention anything unless it's already in the build, unless it's already in actual gameplay. Like unless it's something you can demo at an exhibition, you don't talk about it. Even if it's something you really want to have in the game, even if it's a 95% certainty, you keep mum about it until the very last moment, until it's actually confirmed and done. I think that was the shortcoming he had, is that he promised stuff that was still in that ether of, wouldn't that be great within the dev team? And then he brought that sort of sense of excitement. He brought the audience into that circle and that was the bad move. Like, that circle really needs to be relatively tight, and it's not due to secrecy, it's due to the likelihood of it getting cut due to this or due to that, due to deadline, due to budget, due to resources, what have you, due to in-game engine conflicts or what have you. But he unfortunately brought the audience into that circle of ambitious what-ifs. And sure, the what-ifs might happen, but like, even mm-hmm. game dev, those what-ifs will get bumped to another build or bumped to another patch or this or that. And he just let people in on the loop. And I don't think the audience understood that is a far more liquid environment than they're used to in regards to what devs tell them.
Yeah, but I mean, what's amazing though is, like, so into this environment though, they released this update, and it's not tiny fixes. This is a huge, fantastic update. And to speak to it, there's these great UI enhancements where before it was bulky menu system, just bam, like quick items to be able to get them. There is base building so that some of the more monotonous parts about mining can be done automatically. And then like some transport parts of it too, so you can jump around to waypoints, you can build those things. There's a freighter, there's these huge starships that you can buy and own. And I don't know I think there might be multiple ships that you can get inside of it. I don't know, either way, these ships are massive. You can jump in and own it and go around the universe. And just, there's survival mode. So if you want a more challenging and see if I can not die for some period of time. So just like, bam, bam, it's like, oh, just, yeah. Awesome. Awesome amount. It's so encouraging to see that, especially after the way the community turned on them. There's some part of me that almost figures at some point they're like, forget it. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. They get nothing. Yeah. We're out of here. But they stuck to it. They did. And this update looks phenomenal. It is enough for me to almost want to bring my PlayStation down here alone. Like that one game, just like, man, I want to play it. I can't write. Damn, you had to release Sweet Update now.
The thing is, too, is that like this patch is so substantial and it changes the game to such a degree that this was the stuff that's released in this patch was likely being worked on 6 months to a year ago at least. Like the stuff in this isn't just like this isn't just a band-aid that they put on due to the plaque they received this summer. This is stuff that was already in the mix. It was just, it didn't meet the August deadline. And I think sometimes those deadlines can be, like with Mafia 3, like there's a lot of graphical glitches that are happening in my personal gameplay where I'm like, oh, that stuff could have gotten ironed out had you pushed your window. But unfortunately, sometimes there's other demands at play that prevent that. And I think No Man's Sky suffered a bit for that in combination with some lofty promises.
And yeah, great story. I hope they do another one in 3 or 4 months and just hits keep coming. This can turn into a Minecraft.
Exactly.
The Minecraft space.
So like you have this thing that's supposed to be ever growing and changing and variable. Like it's going to constantly get tweaked. This isn't just an Assassin's Creed where it gets released and you enjoy it and then you move on to the next one. Like this is something that's long term.
Also PSVR support. Very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta get my spaceship, man. So Jeff, do you want to walk us through Final Fantasy 15?
Well, okay,
I'm deadly interested to know if you're gonna buy it, but walk us through it.
Disclosure, I have zero interest in it and I know nothing about it.
You want to go get a beer?
Yeah,
we're gonna geek out about this if you want to get a beer.
It's been 10 years in the making for this thing. And it's finally coming out.
For 10 years.
And the last Final Fantasy I played was Final Fantasy 12. So that was probably 2006, 2005. Beach volleyball one? Beach volleyball one.
What was a beach volleyball
one? No, that's 10.
That was 10.
With the Titus.
Blitzball. Yeah. That was a good game. An awesome that was game. A good game. X2, not so much. But X.
Volleyball. How dare you? How dare you, sir?
Blitzball, what are you talking about? So the combat system looks completely changed, which slightly puts me off. Like from the demo I've tried, it's kind of just like a whack-a-mole.
But you hated that demo.
I hated that demo. Yeah, I hate it. I hate that demo. I hate it.
Wasn't that an improvement?
But I look at the new trailers and I watch The Kingsglaive, which is a full feature pre-movie that they did for it. So like think that old Final Fantasy Spirits Within movie. They did one called Kingsglaive, which is it's basically a full prequel to Final Fantasy 15. And it was pretty good. And it kind of got me interested in that world. And then I see, I'm like, maybe. But there's a lot of things that bug me about it. There's a lot of things that I might want to experience. I don't know, like, have I gotten older and I can't, I need my old Final Fantasies that's turn-based and crazy, kooky, 3D painted worlds kind of thing? Or can I go this new route where they have driving in a car, which is weird to me.
You don't want to go on a road trip with the boy band? I don't understand.
And make them all look like Backstreet Boys. Road trip,
you got the must.
I don't get that. Road trip, I don't get that at all. Like some of those decisions, is like I get Japanese like humor and
you should just ended crazy. You should have ended the sentence there. I get Japanese.
But, I get it. You can be nuts and have fun with it, but this just looks like, I don't know, too pretty. Like they're all pretty and there's no like scars on their faces or they've been in a battle or something. Like there's no Sephiroth, there's no main dude where I can
see like Marcus Fenix show up in that universe.
Turn and run.
That was a good guy or a bad guy?
I don't know, a vendor.
A vendor. The weapon salesman, perfect.
Yeah.
It's been 7 years since the Horde. Hey, Phoenix, can I buy a chocobo? Which type?
I need popcorn for my chocobo.
You don't. I hate my life. I'm more worried about it from a. I'm interested in it. The dev cycles in it, the scope of it, the reviews I've seen of it, like just the words that they use to describe it. Like just massive and ambitious, and the scope and the scale and the size and everything that they've put into it. Like there's a motion picture, as you mentioned, that went out beforehand. Deadly curious about it. And like, obviously I'm going through Final Fantasy IX still on my phone. So kind of in that mode a little bit. I'm just worried from a dad perspective, like, God, this, like how, what is a reasonable time? Look, I'm not going to beat it the fastest you can. It's not in my DNA. I got to collect a few things, but what is a reasonable playthrough? Is it 60 hours, like 80 hours? Probably. Is there grinding? Have they solved grinding for dads? So I don't
know. I'm coming from Switcher, so I don't know. It can be done. Grinding. It'll just take you a full year on and off play with other games.
Yeah, it just seems like you have to. It's like it's Final Fantasy 15. The game of 2017. It's like, it's the thing that you do now.
But yeah, that's all you could do. But yeah, I'm kind of worried about their tenure. Like that's a decade of development of just trying to figure out things and hope they work. I think that it's had a couple directors drop and come back on. So that scares me a little bit that story's disjointed. It comes with a huge day one patch. That's about 8-9 gigs because they actually ran out of space on the Blu-ray, which is insane. I don't know.
Like, I was looking at when we subletted, I had to change the internet plan for the tenants. And I was looking at some of the plans. There's one that looks reasonable, but it's like 32 gigs or like 100 gigs of download for a month. Yeah, and you're telling me close to 10 gigs for one game?
No way. Yeah. Can't live on that. Come on.
Jeez. Well, I can't, but this is their choice.
But no, it's I don't know. I'm usually all up in Final Fantasy, but I can't. I don't know. I'm on the fence.
This is so curious because I would love to dive into whether this is old Jeff. Like as in you're on the porch yelling at them, or this is just this particular version of Final Fantasy where you're just, I can't do this one. Like they released Final Fantasy 12-esque version, like a different one of a game, like the old Final Fantasies.
Yeah.
And that comes out. And then is Jeff excited or is it still just like, I ain't got time for this?
I don't know. I should get it just to yell at it. Why are you guys so pretty?
Come on. From your porch.
Yeah, I was pretty once. Hey, you kids. Myself chocobo feed.
Yeah, so
yeah, maybe, I don't maybe much like a No Man's Sky, maybe it's a wait and see a little bit to react, more reactions, more playthroughs. Like if you see a boss battle, maybe you'll get call it.
Yeah,
we can write this out here. My call it would be that at some point you're going to see a video and you're going to watch it and be like, oh no, okay, now I need this game.
Yeah, probably. That'll probably happen.
There's going to be some YouTuber plays through this boss level and you're just like, oh no, now I have to buy this thing. It's done.
Probably. You probably called it. We'll see. Christmas is coming up. We'll see if I get it. I'm not sure.
Man. That's a no for you, Gavin.
Yeah, I don't know. Like old Final Fantasy games, like I think Final Fantasy VII or older, those ones appealed to me, but there was a certain, maybe as I got older, I just sort of like, all right, that's cool. But there is a certain quirkiness to Japanese games and Japanese RPGs that sometimes I find hard to hurdle. The same with like the Yakuza series, which I hear is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I hear really great things about it. But there's just this certain stylistic element to those games that I find hard to, maybe I'm too Western and I will.
You don't get Japanese like Jeff.
I get
it. And it's like, it's not the fault of the work. It's more just like the audience. It totally, and it's like I just sometimes don't feel like I'm the audience for it. It's the same as like I do enjoy anime, but the amount of anime I enjoy is very limited. Like it's something where I don't dive into that genre as much as other people I know who love it, and they're just like everything. They're just like there's so many different facets and branches of that genre that they just absolutely engorge themselves on and love it, and hats off to them. But like my tastes personally sort of limit me in delving into it. That might change over time, but as far as this next Final Fantasy game, there's not really anything about it narratively that intrigues me. Visually, it's impressive. Graphically, like the lighting and the color and everything is great. Some of those larger creatures are very impressive, but the gameplay that I've seen in regards to how you interact with those creatures just doesn't quite tickle my fancy. But that's totally a me thing. Like I'm hoping that the game delivers on the people who are really anticipating it, because I know what it's like to wait for something for that long and then finally get to play it, and hopefully it's a good experience for them, because there are a lot of things that I'm like, that's great. It's the same thing with Metal Gear. Like there are certain Metal Gear games that I really, really like, but there's certain aspects of Metal Gear games sometimes where I'm like, oh, that's just silly. But that's a certain quirk that I don't think, it's like a sense of humor. Like some people like certain comedians and some people like other comedians, and it has nothing to do with whether their jokes are funny. It just has to do with the person's taste. But as for this game, Emo Boy Band Road Trip 2016 is, I don't think,
exactly what it is. Let's be honest.
Oh man, I think I'm gonna be a buy, but my only problem would be like with the No Man's Sky update, and besides the other games, just I might wait till the new. I'm gonna wait till I have some time. I don't want to jump in, and I think there's probably gonna be a price drop and call it 6 months. So probably wait for that one. But I'm excited to play it. I'm interested. I get Japanese a bit, so we got three variants of like getting Japanese.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. We all get Japanese.
Now, don't get me wrong, gentlemen, Japanese cinema I love. So it's mostly just video games and anime. But cinema wise,
okay. Now it'd be if one of you happened to have Japanese beer this week, that'd be a beautiful segue.
Good.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I hold one in my hand today, and then
perfect.
I
offered, you had it.
I did, but then I opted to go with the one that had a goat on the can.
Even better. That is so much better.
Because there's Kozel. A goat
on the Kozel? Can. How do you?
Kozel? Kozel?
How do you?
Kozel? I don't know. It's a Czech lager.
The soft K, Ozzle.
Oh, check. Ozzle. I've gone check too this week.
I like this word at the top that kind of crests, and I'm not even going to try to read that. I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's a lot of letters.
That is a lot of consonants.
A lot of K's and Y's. And I would just butcher it. I know I would not do it justice. Like, somebody who's actually Czech would be like, what are you even saying, internet? It was a tasty beer. Like, you know, the goat was right. Like, it was good.
Thanks, goat.
It was tasty. It was refreshing. It was an easy drinking beer. Not too hoppy. Yeah, I liked it.
Jeff, yourself, well, your drink of the evening?
Yeah, I didn't get a goat, but I also went to Czech, Slovakia.
Ooh.
And it's Czechvar.
Czechvar. It's a little on the nose.
Maybe that's what it says. I don't know. But yeah, same kind of feeling that Gavin had. Maybe they make them all the same. I don't know. But it's very, like, just a stable, good beer. Like, there's nothing weird about it to me. It's just a good, stable, refreshing beer. I'll take it again if I needed to, but I might forget about it because it doesn't hang on to me. So, but no, it's good. And I can say the name, Czechvar. I wish I had a goat.
You're envious of the goat. So for myself, almost obviously, I choose a Club Columbia.
I love that can. It's such a squishy can.
It is a pretty can, I'll tell you that, with the red and the design there on the top, the pattern.
Yeah.
Very beautiful stuff. It's actually improved in previous years. So this is the Roja, or red. So red lager, they call. Oh, they actually put it in English. I didn't notice that before. Red lager, so it's Roja. See, I'm learning. I'm learning Spanish.
Yeah, you are.
One drink at a time. So, man, excellent. I mean, like, so Columbia, I think, would probably be call it the more premium, but premium in the sense of a... Jeez, I'm trying to think of like a staple, like almost like a Keith's in the sense that it's just a solid, good, widely available beer. It's going to be interesting trying to find different picks for the weeks because it's not much of a craft scene here, not a place where you can get it. There's a couple places like the Bogota Beer Company. I don't know that they produce anything you can take home or not. So it's going to be a little dicey for me to find new beer picks every week, but I'm curious to explore this. There's two big brands. I know there's three variants on this, so I at least got 3 weeks covered with Club Columbia. But anyways, this particular one, it is delicious beer. These guys do really great work. Just clean, easy, tasty. Nothing particularly of note, but in a good way.
Yeah.
So Club Columbia.
I wonder if they import to Canada.
I don't think so.
That's your mission, Trevor.
Yeah, said I gotta set the supply chains. New dads need a drink, you know.
Don't say that on air. Supply chains.
So, everybody, that will do it for us this week. This has been New Dad Gaming. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to reach out to us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com. You can post suggestions, comments, show ideas, anything you like, or you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can subscribe to the podcast either on iTunes, Google Play, or other podcasting services. We do the show weekly and appreciate any type of likes, requests, friends, or not friends. Well, friends on Facebook, I suppose.
Yeah, sure, why not?
We like friends.
Friends.
But we like reviews, suggestions, or passing along to other dads who game. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have a 1.5-year-old. Feels good.
My name is Gavin. I have a 1-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I got a 6-year-old, 3-year-old, and a Christmas tree.
A Hulk. A Hulk Christmas tree.
That's right.
Yep.
Wonderful. Christmas tree. They've assembled. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Have a good week.
Bye. Yeah.